The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowds, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?" And he answered, "An enemy has done this." His slaves said to him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" And he replied, "No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" He proposed another parable to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches." He spoke to them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened." All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables, to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables, I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world." Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Whoever has ears ought to hear. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Those who pray are certainly saved. Those who do not pray are certainly damned. All the blessed have been saved by prayer. All the damned have been lost through not praying. If they had prayed, they would not have been lost. And this is and will be their greatest torment in hell, to think how easily they might have been saved just by asking God for his grace. But then now it is too late. Their time of prayer is gone. So wrote St. Alphonsus Liguori, one of the greatest teachers of the faith who lived what he taught. And lest we think that because he's been dead for some 240 years, his words are too harsh or extreme, or our faith doesn't actually teach this. These are the words that are found in our universal catechism, just a few decades old, and from our own lifetime. So St. Alphonsus's words express what we do believe as Catholics about the necessity of prayer. And if you and I acknowledge that our faith helps us to know what is true, right? Our faith isn't just memorizing some pieces of data that we have to be able to know at the end of our lives, but it helps us to grasp reality as it is, above all, who God is. He made us out of love, and who we are, and again, what our destiny is, how we're to live here. But it helps us grasp all of that, and if we acknowledge that St. Alphonsus' words express a truth about the necessity of prayer, those who pray are certainly saved, those who do not pray are certainly damned, then, well, I would suggest we just need to exercise our faith and pray, and keep praying. You know, someone summed it up, I think wisely so, but say there are a couple of challenges to choosing to pray, to continuing to pray. One of them is sometimes we don't want to pray. And the other one is sometimes we feel like we don't know how to pray. I think if we're honest and humble about it, we often don't pray not because we can't, but because we don't want to. That's perhaps the main reason why we don't pray. We don't want to. Again, why? I think there's a variety of reasons. Scripture gives us a variety of reasons at times, but sometimes because we don't think it matters. Sometimes, you know, like it doesn't work. Like I prayed, and my prayer, I feel like my prayer wasn't answered. So why bother? Sometimes it's because we don't enjoy it. It's hard. Sometimes we don't think it's important or the most important thing. I don't need to do it right now. One of the things Scripture says is, you know, in our prosperity, it's easy for us to forget or neglect God. If I don't feel an immediate need, it's easy to put God somewhere down the line. Sometimes we don't pray because it's inconvenient. We're too busy. It seems too hard. Sometimes we give in to more enjoyable distractions in the moment or seek those out, even in our small daily difficulties. Think about our devices in our own day and age. I know my devices can cause all sorts of challenges to prayer, because when prayer might be hard or it might not be attracted to prayer and I feel like praying, it can be much easier to turn to our devices for whatever reason, seeking whatever it might be. Again, they offer us a false help in those moments. And of course, even right coming and praying every Sunday at Mass, that can be a challenge for us at times. I know that. I've experienced that in life. So it's a little easier for me to get to every Sunday Mass because I have to. It won't happen if I don't show up. But just, you know, think of the example. I know people experience this. You know, there's some sort of an important family event, maybe an anniversary, maybe it's out of town, and it can be hard to get to Mass because many of our family, our friends, they're not Catholic or they're not practicing the faith anymore, and so Mass isn't a part of the celebration at all anymore. And so we have to choose, but we do have to choose each day to pray. How often should we pray? This might say, look, we're all praying here this morning. We're praying. Is it once a week? Is that enough? Get to Mass once a week? Well, the Scripture tells us, pray always. Get to one way that that's possible, but Scripture says, pray always. One of the great teachers of prayer, St. Francis de Sales, one of, as well, perhaps the greatest teacher that talks about and helps understand how to live our Catholic faith as laity, not as priests or religious, but like all of you in our daily lives, he says to the laity, he says, well, pray a half an hour each day. Seems like a lot, probably. He says, unless you're really busy, and then pray an hour. And again, not because God's trying to put some extra burden on us, right? Because since we'll get to that, prayer isn't some solo activity, but it's entering into a relationship with God, recognizing if I have more needs, well, of course I should turn to the one who has power and authority over it, as we heard in our first reading, who is good, who is there to help me, and I need his help. Again, you know, one reason that we can choose something other than prayer in our daily lives is we can buy into a falsehood. There can be different ones, but again, usually unconsciously without really realizing it. One of the falsehoods we can buy into in our mentality and then our actions is that everyone, at least everyone we know and love and care about, is of course going to heaven. And if that's our mentality, then of course the result of that is, well, it doesn't really matter what I do there anymore, so I'm just going to do whatever I feel like in the moment, of course, because it doesn't matter. And then that moment, that if it's hard to choose to pray, almost certainly we're not going to pray. But let's go back to St. Alphonsus's words. He's saying that prayer matters enormously. In some ways, it's not just the most important thing, but understood correctly, it's the only thing that has eternal consequences for us, and that those consequences are real. Again, it's not that prayer becomes the only thing we do, but without the prayer, everything we do doesn't matter. But if we are praying, then every part of our life is transformed. Jesus, in his parables today, makes a lot of points about this life. But one thing that he makes clear in this parable about the wheat and the weeds is that there are two kingdoms in this life, God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. And that there's a struggle in this life, there's a battle, an ongoing struggle between the two. And for us, that we have to choose. We're here because of our faith. In baptism and faith, we've been brought into God's kingdom. We have to continue to choose to grow as God's children. And it is possible for us to choose to be weeds in Satan's kingdom. Again, it's important to remember something here. God doesn't make anyone for hell. Everyone is made for heaven. Everyone who has been, who is, or who will be, is made for heaven. Again, right, because Jesus talks about how the weeds are the children of the evil one and the enemy who sows them is the devil. And Jesus is not saying that some people are made by the devil, right? The devil doesn't make anybody, nor that God created anyone as evil or as a child of evil. But we do know it's the case that after Adam and Eve fell, all of us were born into that kingdom of darkness. We were born separated from God. That's original sin. It's part of the gift of our faith and baptism. Part of what Jesus brings about is taking us out of that kingdom. And we are his children now. No one's made for hell. Hell is saying no to God. It's our choice. It's at times saying, God, I know what you want, but I'm choosing something else. I don't want that. Or I know I've done wrong, but I'm not sorry. I don't ask for your mercy. And God says, okay. It breaks my heart because I love you and I want you to be happy and I want to share my life with you and you to share my abundant life with me, but I'm going to honor your choice. So even in the church, there are wheat and weeds. I mean, we don't want to sit back, but we could, and just think, well, I'm here. The church is certainly God's kingdom, being God's child, but then somehow each day, it doesn't matter what I choose. It does. And we have an enemy. Jesus is saying, this is real. We have to choose him, right? Satan and the fallen angels, they are our enemy. They're seeking to steal and destroy and to kill us. And one of their greatest temptations they tempt us with is, you don't need to pray. Don't pray. And to ignore this reality wouldn't change the reality or make it not so. It would just put us into a different danger. You know, if I said, you know what, I don't believe in gravity, so I'm going to go to the Empire State Building and I'm going to walk up the top of it and I'm just going to float around for a while. It seems like a good thing to do. If you love me, you'd say, Father John, don't do that. That's just not only arrogant stupidity, that's insanity. Just wanting it to be so or thinking something so doesn't make it so. And so in those moments when we're tempted not to pray, and especially those moments when we think, I should pray, in whatever way that form that takes, huh? We think, maybe not. Pray and start with, maybe just help Jesus. The words are not as important as looking to the Lord for help, but we could say something like, Jesus, in your name, I repent of and reject the lie that praying doesn't matter, or that it doesn't have some eternal significance in my life, and I proclaim the truth that praying does matter and it makes a difference for my life and it leads to heaven and my own happiness, and so I'm going to choose prayer. Jesus, help me to pray. Again, the good news is that heaven is open to us. We can choose it, so to speak. And not only that, Jesus is there not just to help us, but as we'll move to in just a moment here, God is with us to help us to pray. And when we are praying, it's a sign that that hope is alive. And as we heard, whoever prays is certainly saved. You know, some helpful advice I heard years ago, it helps me at times when I'm tempted to not pray, is from one of the great women of human history, a saint, a great teacher on prayer, St. Teresa of Avila. And she said, think about the fact that all of the time that you and I have is a gift from God, right? Every moment in our life, every moment of each day, it's a gift from God. And part of how we grow as children of God, as we grow in his life, is that tithing, right? Giving back part of the gift to God. Not because God just wants part of it back, but because he knows it's good for us. And so she said, think about time like we might think about our money or other possessions. Say, it's a gift from God. I'm giving part of it back to God. And give him that part each day. And then, like any good gift that we give to somebody, choose not to take it back. Sometimes we don't want to pray. Sometimes it's hard to pray because we feel like we don't know how to pray. And we hear today in our second reading that God tells us, you're right. None of us, Paul says, none of us know how to pray. It's okay. Because he goes on to say something incredible, something so encouraging, that the Holy Spirit is in us, in you, when we choose how to pray, or when we choose to pray. God is this communion of persons. Prayer is not some solo activity that we do, but it's entering into that relationship with God. It's talking to God. It's listening to God. It's letting God speak. It's entering into the very life that we were made for, and growing in that. And that God, the Holy Spirit, is helping us do that. He helps you to share your heart to God, to talk to God. He helps you to listen to God. We don't have to do it on our own. And God knows what you need and knows what you need to pray. Methods are not as important as just doing it. Can they be helpful? Yes, absolutely. Is it worth looking at the saints and their lives and their teachings? Yes. I mentioned St. Francis de Sales. He's got a book called The Introduction to the Devout Life that's one of the best resources for learning about prayer, helping what can I do in prayer, but also connecting it to our daily lives. And it was written especially for the laity. I find it enormously helpful now, even as a priest, but things like that are helpful, but they're not the most important thing. You know, another helpful reflection from St. Teresa of Avila, she said she was a Carmelite nun. She said one of her sister nuns, she didn't name who it was, she said, this sister of mine, she's grown to the heights of holiness, to great union with God, simply by praying the Our Father well and persevering in that prayer. Someone who didn't have lots of, you know, deep meditative prayer or spending even a lot of time in scripture, or, but again, she of course was living a life for God, but just praying the Our Father well from the heart and persevering in that prayer. The prayer that Jesus taught us when his disciples said, teach us to pray. And so as to remember, prayer is this relationship, so pray in your own words. Talk to God as you would someone beside you, because he is beside you and he's within you. You have that image. Maybe it's to pray to him as a father or a mother or a brother or a sister or a spouse, as a friend, as our master, as your creator, as this tremendously compassionate and powerful physician who brings you life and healing. I was struck this morning, it was very beautiful this morning, and it reminded me of, you know, one of the gifts that people give priests. It's a very nice thing, I appreciate it, is mugs. And so there's this mug in the rectory. I don't know where it came from. It was there before I arrived, but it's got a quote from Fulton Sheen. It says, there's two ways to wake up in the morning. And it's to say, good morning, God, or good God, morning. And again, to start our day in prayer, but it reminded me of part of something that G.K. Chesterton said about prayer, right? The mentality that we have going into prayer, thinking about God, that so much of our life is the same thing again and again. But to realize that it's not perhaps because God is like bored, doesn't know what to do, but because he's so in love with his creation, he made it so good. And as scripture says, especially Jesus delights in all of his creation. Remember years ago, my nephew, he's now out of high school. He's a little boy, I don't know if it's second, maybe around his second birthday. They were celebrating his birthday, and my brother was lighting the candles on the cake, and then they blew him out, and my nephew was delighted. He said, "Do it again." Or he just said, "Again," actually, "again." My brother said, "Okay." And my brother kept doing it. He said, "Well, it's his birthday," but he kept saying, "Again, again, again." My brother just said, "His birthday's okay," right? We experience that in children. Yeah, it reflects something of God. That there's been now billions of sunrises and sunsets every day, not because God doesn't know what else to do, but because it's again. I'm doing it again, doing it anew. That mentality when we enter into prayer, and of course, his love for you. How important it is, our image of God. If we have a false image of God, so often it can lead us to decide not to pray. And again, some of the characteristics we see in our first reading in our song, that God is both kind and powerful, abounding in kindness and power over all things. That's different than many of us. Sometimes we experience power, but that person isn't kind. Or they're kind, but they seem kind of powerless. God's power is kindness. He's both just and he's merciful, rich in mercy. That's not us. We can't be just and merciful at the same time, but God can. And to say that God loves you and knows you more than you know and love yourself. Enter into that prayer. Again, we don't even need words when we pray. And Paul says that today too. The Holy Spirit prays in us sometimes with inexpressible groanings. And it says the one who intercedes for us, that Jesus knows what he's saying and brings it to the Father. Our prayer is always with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So St. Augustine says one of the ways we pray always, remember I said that at the beginning, God tells us to pray always, is just to pray with our desires, your longings, without words. And again, that can be done whatever we're doing, a certain intentedness to God, but also sometimes to know our prayer. We don't have words to express our hearts, but God knows. But to still choose to pray, leave us with an image I came across recently. Maybe you'll find it helpful. It's to think about prayer. The person said it's for them, it's like a hand. They think about a stone and a hand. And the hand is just raising up the stone. He says, you and I, and our prayers are like that stone, and the hand is the Holy Spirit lifting us up to God. Never praying alone when we pray in Christ. For me, it's often the image of Mary, actually, and holding me and lifting me up. Other people, the image of Jesus, and rightly so. But whatever image we have, to start your prayer with some sort of a recollection, an image of what's going on and who we're turning to. It's such an image, it helps us to choose to pray. It helps us to persevere in prayer. It helps us to pray with confidence. It helps us to pray honestly, from the heart, with words or without words. It helps us not to give in to pretense or fear or shame or even a type of hopelessness that it doesn't really matter. It does. Leave us with the thoughts of one other saint, St. John Chrysostom. His words are right there next to St. Alphonsus. It's in our catechism. He says this about our faith, about reality. He says, "Nothing is equal to prayer, for what is impossible it makes possible, what is difficult easy, for it is impossible, utterly impossible, for the one who prays eagerly and invokes God ceaselessly ever to sin." Let's pray.